From the sports desk of the Ames Tribune, Ames, Iowa, the home of the Cyclones. This is the Cyclone Slant. With sports editor Travis Hines. Now, the Cyclone Slant.
Hello and welcome to the Cyclone Slant podcast brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. I am Travis Hines, joined by Randy Peterson in the shadow of Camelback Mountain in lovely and pretty warm Scottsdale, Arizona, as we're here on Fiesta Bowl Eve. Iowa State, Oregon, tomorrow afternoon in the Fiesta Bowl. Randy's got a 24-hour head start on being in the desert. Randy, how's your Arizona experience been so far? Did you ring in the new year?
Yeah, I did. I ringed it in and probably fell asleep around 9 o'clock. So, yeah, that's pretty typical for me. The thing I've really noticed, I mean, that just really stuck out at me, and you mentioned it when you got here earlier this morning, that I walked around Old Town Scottsdale. No fans. I didn't even come here. I went there first. I just went there first. No fans at all. No Oregon fans, no Iowa State fans. You know, we're used to seeing fans all over the place at bowl games. And like you said, you got a nice tour of the facility today.
That's a nice way of saying I got hopelessly lost walking around the hotel grounds.
But anyway, yeah. But anyway, yeah, and I did the same. And there's nothing, you don't see any fans. You don't see anybody wearing Cardinal gold. You don't see anybody wearing Oregon colors. So it's just really surreal in that respect. There are no, this place would be hopping right now with fans from both teams. And there's nobody. So I guess that's my main takeaway from this whole, 24 hours that I've been here, is that there's no fans.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange. You know, there was some people wearing Iowa State stuff on my flight today, but, you know, that could just be, random people, or maybe some family members are coming down. It's definitely strange. I mean, I think, to your point, Iowa State fans, even if they would have been able to go to the Big 12 in droves, still probably would have come out in droves for this Fiesta Bowl in a normal year. I've always said never underestimate Iowa State fans' ability to show up to stuff. So it is too bad, but it is kind of just the way things are. I guess now in 2021, we can't say 2020 anymore.
Good point. Thank goodness.
But yeah, good riddance. The game tomorrow. You've had now a couple, 10 days to digest the matchup. I haven't moved off where I was, really since the day after the game got announced. I think Iowa State is not a heavy favorite, but I think a solid favorite in this game tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. And like you and I have talked about many times, Iowa State has an advantage in the stats, up and down the stats. I don't think, well, I know that Oregon, they've not seen anybody like Breece Hall. They've not seen the three-man defensive front that Iowa State, the way Iowa State will throw it at them on Saturday. In fairness, Iowa State's not seen a defensive lineman like, what's his name, Thibodeau for Oregon. I mean, Campbell called him, or Haycock or Campbell or Rose or I don't know, one of those guys called him best defensive lineman they'll face all year, or they will have faced. So that's pretty high praise. But you've written about the quarterbacks, and it was very good, and they're kind of mirror image quarterbacks. They both throw, they both run. So in that respect, Iowa State's going to have to be on its toes. But I don't think he's anything that the Cyclones haven't seen this year, whether it be against Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, even TCU, when Duggan was playing well. It's nothing that Iowa State hasn't already seen. Iowa State's already played 11 games, and Oregon's played 6. So I think everything tilts towards an Iowa State victory.
Yeah, I think you hit it, though, too. The one thing you're probably concerned about, if you're Campbell, if you're Matt, or if you're Tom Manning, is how does your offensive line hold up? I think it's probably – it seems – I would lean towards unlikely that Jake Remsburg, the starting right tackle, plays on Saturday after his injury in the Big 12 title game. Joey Ramos started the first, four games of the year, so it's not like, you know, they're bringing in somebody completely green to that position. But we saw what happened against Oklahoma. Brock Purdy was, you know, on the run for his life through big stretches of the game. So I think that's where you got to be concerned. Can they protect Brock Purdy? Can they give Breece Hall, who does not need a ton of room, but he needs some room, enough room, you know, to get to the edges, to turn the corner, and have a couple of those big runs that have really helped Iowa State's offense throughout the year. But the thing I keep coming back to is you can't obviously eliminate the Louisiana game. But since the Louisiana game, you know, would you say Iowa State's played a bad game? They've had bad moments, even bad halves, looking at you, Baylor. But they have not had a bad game, in my estimation, since that Louisiana game. And I think they're going to, you know, whatever it seems like, and maybe this year is an anomaly because it's only 10 days between games for these teams, but so much of the narrative and so much what people talk about and who wins these games is, you know, who wants to be there, you know, who can handle whether you're on a high or a low, and Iowa State's coming off a low, losing that game to Oklahoma. But I think for Iowa State, we've seen them just kind of truck along all season long. And, you know, Campbell's favorite thing to say all year long is, you know, continue to get better, be the best version of yourself. You and I have heard that so many times that I think it's like literally falling out of my ears at this point. But to be fair, they've done that. You know, they've gotten better throughout the season. You know, I don't know if anyone ever achieves the best version of themselves, but Iowa State, I think you can fairly say, is approaching its ceiling in the 2020 football season. And I think when you look at all that, that's why I keep coming back to them, you know, being somewhere around a touchdown favorite in my mind.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This Iowa State team, what kind of sets, one of the things that sets this Iowa State team apart from last year was this team's been able to finish. Iowa State has Iowa State played a bad second half? I don't remember the second half of the Louisiana game.
Yeah, I mean, they've been better. Their second halves have been very strong. I mean, obviously the Baylor turnaround, and then, you know, the Kansas State, West Virginia games, could probably just throw those out, right, because they were so lopsided.
Oklahoma State?
Yeah, but they played well in Oklahoma State. They played really well in the second half against Oklahoma in Dallas two weekends ago. So, yeah, they've been a second half team, and I think a lot of that, the defense seems to find its footing as the game goes along.
Yeah, they're making the halftime corrections. It's something that I was a little bit critical of last year because they were getting they were getting beat in the second halves last year. And I don't think we can give enough credit to Dave Andrews, the new strength and conditioning coach. I've tap danced around this a little bit in writing, but because it's just hard to get anybody to I don't know whether they're speaking their mind or I don't know. But
it's hard for them to praise this strength and conditioning staff without it coming off as taking a dump on the last one.
Yeah, and I get that, but you can do both. I mean, you can. It's just a different philosophy. The Coach Andrews, his deal is to have the players at peak performance, at their peak strength, at their peak readiness on game day, not on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not each practice, just game day. Build up to it. Just build up to game day. Don't waste don't zap your strength during the week. So and that's helped. That's really helped. And the players have talked about that. And that's why I think we see very good second halves. I think that's why we didn't see a collapse like last year, losing four of the last six games. Granted, Purdy was hurt, but maybe that has something to do with strength and conditioning as well. But we haven't seen that, and so that's just bodes so well for the future of Iowa State football. Oh my gosh! I mean, if you're an Iowa State football fan, you've got to be anticipating as good a season next year, if not better. And I know I'm probably a little bit higher on this than I probably should be, but if the right players come back, which they will, I mean, I think we all expect. None of us would be shocked if Charlie Kohler goes out, but if everybody else comes back, that all the impact players come back, this could be a very, very good team next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's always, like, to your point, it's always hard to project. I mean, we already had one surprise with Latrell Bankston hitting the transfer portal. So you never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, gosh, you start connecting dots and you start spinning forward. There's a lot of guys back from a team that was ranked in the top 10 for a couple of weeks this year, which I think if you're an Iowa State fan is got to be exciting. And, you know, it's – you know, you always, I think, want to approach it with cautious optimism because you can see how that can go wrong sometimes, or you get caught up in expectations and it makes everything – it just raises the anxiety level. Yeah. Yeah. Or it just, you know, this, the other teams get better too. You know, you don't get to start, you know, on the third lap. Yeah.
Everybody saw Texas in the bowl game. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The backup quarterback, the running back. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be great to watch Texas next year.
Yeah.
Under Tom Herman.
Yeah. You don't get a head start, but you do have a stronger foundation, I think, is the way I would look at it when you look, to the 2021 season. You know, assuming everybody comes back, I think you're looking at least a top 15 team, right? I mean,
if Iowa State wins on Saturday, I think you could be looking at a top 10 team, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked enough across the country, but I mean, I don't think it'd be hard to justify a top 10, top 15 ranking for them. You know, once we get through the college football playoff here in a week or two.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the top either, but yeah, I use that stat, and I can't remember what it is. I don't think Iowa State's ever been in the preseason. Maybe not higher than 25 or something like that.
They've been preseason ranked under Campbell. I think they were like 24.
Okay,
definitely not top 10
right,
or top 15.
Yeah, exactly. So it's possible. It's certainly possible, like you said, top 15.
Yeah, I mean, that seems probable. Top 15 seems probable. Top 10.
Win or lose.
Possible, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and then, you know, then they revert back to the normal scheduling next year, and which I don't remember who's on the schedule next year except Iowa. I assume where is that game? That game's in Ames, right?
Yeah, they're just skipping the 2020 game essentially. So, but I think they go to UNLV, I believe, because UNLV was supposed to come this year, and that game got moved to like 2024 or something like that, I think.
So yeah, so and it's everything could fall in line perfectly for Iowa State, but there's so many intangibles, like the injuries, for example, like the whole leaving.
Yeah, well, I don't think we left the Camping World Bowl talking about a worldwide pandemic either, so who the hell knows what next season's going to see.
Yeah, they got a good point there, but you know, there's a vaccine out there now, dude. Remember that?
Well, I know. I'm just saying, who the hell knows what is 2021 has got in store for us.
We got a vaccine. Yeah, it'll be something else. Who knows?
Yeah. Should we talk about basketball?
You really want to? I don't care. Baylor?
Yeah,
is it Baylor? I don't even know.
Yeah, number two Baylor at Hilton Coliseum on Saturday. I don't have a lot to say. I mean, it'll be good to see them back on the floor after 2 weeks. I was just doing the math, and with the canceled game, you're covering the game at Texas next week. It'll be a month in between games almost for me, having seen that team in person, because we missed the West Virginia game to be in Dallas. So at this point, I'm just looking forward to basketball occurring after a long layoff.
Yeah, and I don't even know who played. I haven't even looked ahead after they play at Texas on Tuesday. Yeah, I'm going flying from here to Austin, and then I don't even know when they play after that. I've not even looked.
They've got who do they have? They have
Texas
Tech on Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
So it's three top 15 teams right now.
Yeah, because that was your story. You read this.
Yeah.
The toughest.
And then a trip to Kansas State, which is not the gimme we thought it might be before the year.
Yeah,
and then Kansas. At Kansas. So, I mean, the Big 12 is just going to be unrelenting this year. It's never a good year to reload in the Big 12, but this could be a particularly difficult one.
You know, and I still have, yeah, reload. That's what you're, exactly, and that's kind of where I'm headed here. I still am not surprised, but why this roster have become like this? You know, we know why. We know what happened. We know, and early early NBA entries aside, every team has those. But I mean, there's been recruiting misses. There's been players leaving the program, which are probably called recruiting misses. And all schools have that. So why is Iowa State having seven new guys? It's that shouldn't happen 5 years in, however many years in.
Well, I guess sometimes that's just going to happen, but it's the third time in four years it's happened, and that I think that is the issue. And, you know, I've said this or I've written this before. Solomon Young is set to be the first player to start and finish his eligibility under Steve Prohm at Iowa State. And for you remember when Prohm came in and took the job in 2015, they talked a lot about having four-year program players. That's what led to the success. You know, everybody wants to talk about the transfers, which obviously they played a huge part, but George Niang was pretty good. Monte Morris is pretty good. Matt Thomas, Naz Mitru Long. I mean, like, those guys were the core foundation, and Iowa State has just not had that. And I do not have a lot of sympathy for the early entries to the NBA because, like, what are you going to do, not recruit, recruit worse players? Like, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. And you knew for most of those guys they were not going to be four-year players. You didn't know that probably about almost certainly about Tyrese Halliburton, but you knew it after the first year that you were only getting another year out of him. So when it comes to roster management, you got to build that in. But my running theory on why we're seeing another rebuild out of Iowa State basketball is they've done well on the high end recruits. Like, they've gotten Talen Horton Tucker, they've gotten Lindell Wigginton. They had a once in a lifetime type recruit in Tyrese Halliburton, a three-star guy that's then turns into a lottery pick, and I mean, hell, he looks like the rookie of the year in the NBA after a couple weeks. Where you have the issue is you've missed on transfers for the most part. Mariel Shayok's probably the only real impact transfer that we've seen, and obviously we'll see what happens this year with Javen Johnson, Jalen Coleman-Lands, Tyler Harris. But otherwise, like,
Hinson could have been maybe could in that
Hinson, yeah. But I mean, obviously he's not playing this year.
Yeah,
so.
I know exactly. Yeah.
But beyond that, like, Mike Jacobson was a 2-year starter, but was probably always the fifth best guy on the floor. Mm-hmm. Daryl Bowie, Merle Holden, Jeff Beverly, Hans Brace, like, those guys just did not move the needle. And then you have, you don't keep Caleb Grill. Zion Griffin is never able to find his footing.
Zion was part of that quote-unquote unheralded, very heralded, I should say, recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence Lewis never really found a role. So, it's just those. You had the big hits, but you were not able to fill around them enough consistently to where now we're seeing potentially another sub 500 season, and that's what's got the program, not where I think where Steve wants it to be or where Iowa State fans want it to be. So that's kind of my running theories. They just have not been able to fill in the supporting cast consistently enough at a high level, and that's why we're seeing the roster turnover, and that's why we're seeing, two sub 500 seasons out of three, and now potentially three and four, if they're not able to get this figured out here over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and how are you going to get it figured out, too, against, like you said, you've got the three toughest opponents. Hey, I mean, they don't even count Kansas, dude. Yeah. You weren't even counting Kansas.
They got to play the games, but obviously I'm not very bullish on Iowa State's chances to finish higher than ninth in the Big 12 right now.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You're right. I don't. And didn't TCU beat somebody or almost beat somebody?
I mean,
Oklahoma State or something?
The league is really, really good. Other than Iowa State and Kansas State are the only two teams where you look at and say they're really struggling.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in Iowa State's case, they're struggling against, like you said, as good a the number two basketball conference in the country out there right now. Maybe first. I don't know, but certainly that or the Big Ten.
So, number two, Baylor at Hilton Coliseum, noon Saturday. I believe Matt Bain will be there covering it for us. But Randy and I will be at the marquee game on Saturday, the Fiesta Bowl between Iowa State and Oregon in Glendale, Arizona, where Iowa State will be making its first New Year's Six appearance. Whereas Randy noted in his story this week that, five guys are going to be playing in their fourth bowl game? Which will quintuple the amount of guys that have done that at Iowa State. So that's a pretty astounding stat. I remember, it was just 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where George Niang became the first player to play in four NCAA tournaments for Iowa State. So it's whatever, the things are on an upswing. When you take a big picture look at Iowa State Athletics, certainly on the football side, as we mentioned, Fiesta Bowl now, top 10, top 15 preseason rankings likely coming in the future. So we'll have lots of that from the Fiesta Bowl. We'll have lots all winter and spring long. He's Randy Peterson. I'm Travis Hines. This has been the Cyclone Slant, brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. Thanks, and we'll catch you next time.